Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
When the price of games rose to $60, you got nervous. When the price rose to $70, you got dizzy. When the price rose to $80, you had a coronary. When the deluxe edition rose to $120, you jumped out a closed window. Don't jump out a closed window. Just raise the skull and crossbones.
In a world where gaming is everything, welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 289. We're getting close to 300. It's hard to believe. A couple of us, you notice, are only two of us here, so I'll just let my co-host here introduce himself.
Hi, it's Irish Guardian. No, wait, he's late. Didn't turn up or say nothing. So no, it's just Trev as always. Sorry. Hello, Greg.
I'm sure Matt will turn up later on, but we continue to go on with the show regardless, of course.
Not if I delete the link, he won't.
The link is always the same. That's what's funny. We keep on putting it in anyway, but you know, because it's easy, but the link is like always the same.
Is it? Oh, there you go. Didn't know that. That's how he always get in before me, man. I always wondered how he was in there before me.
I thought it was supposed to change each time.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing anything different, but whatever.
Security, come on, Riverside.
That's it. Anywho, just to kind of move on with the show, join our Discord, discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. That's discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. You can join our Discord. We talk about stuff that we're talking about now. We also talk about entertainment and got all kinds of other stuff. And we also do a gaming night as much as we can on Wednesdays. It's not always successful because life gets in the way. But we do what we can, so join us for that. Also check out on YouTube, you will see quick breaks and you will see shorts, from us. So we try to put those up as often as we can. So, tune into those. So we're just going to kind of roll right into everything. First we're going to start out with a little bit of, hardware and tech news and, see what's going on. This story that I saw, Trev, I thought was really interesting. I just came out of nowhere and I see a story about Commodore 64 and I'm going like, what are they talking about? I mean, that computer has been long gone. And yep. Apparently Commodore is going to release a Commodore 64 Ultimate, they're calling it. And it's going to start at around $300 US. And it's going to be able to play a lot of stuff. Apparently they're calling it a home computer product. Not actually a computer per se. They're pre-ordering now. But they won't be shipping till October, so it's going to be a little time. But you'll get a device that isn't a software emulator. It is going to be an actual computer and run by an AMD Arctic 7 FPGA, which I've never even heard of until now. So
I can explain that in a moment.
And is claimed to be compatible with 10,000-plus original games, cartridges, and peripherals. And I'm going like, really? I think this is pretty cool. I mean, for people that like retro, and there's a lot of us out there that like it, to actually have a Commodore 64-looking computer, or as close to what the original looked like then, but not to have to worry about software emulation, and all these games will run, I thought was kind of brilliant. I hope these things sell, and they're successful with it. They mentioned that they had an idea about releasing this. And apparently, I didn't know this, but Commodore Corporation was, they got rid of their entire management structure and basically hired enthusiasts, gaming enthusiasts, to replace them all. So that was kind of interesting. So these enthusiasts are into gaming and retro and everything else, and this is what they decided they wanted to do, and apparently they're going to go forward. So,
yeah,
I don't know. What do you think about this, Trev? I thought that was pretty cool.
I am a Commodore, amazing brand, big brand when it comes to computing back in the day. I'm just going to big up the Brits and say Spectrum's better. Just saying, just it's that simple. I actually don't know which is better. I used a Spectrum ZX20 as my first ever computer. When I was 11, maybe. Yeah. And I had the tape deck, and I played a game that looked like cross between Chucky and Bart Simpson, because you were on top of a train and you were running along. And I had the little kind of joystick thing, and I had a bunch of games that my mum was able to get me. And I remember I could only play the computer in her room, so she could kind of like half keep an eye on me, you know, because my first PC, was it technically a PC? Computer, anyway. And you hooked it into just a little normal TV, just a normal little CRT, small 14-inch thing, playing away. And I had a bunch of games to play. And I remember like being nosy, and I saw what was other cassettes, tapes at the top of my mother's cupboard. And I was, oh, what's that? Went up there. And I was, oh, Mom, there's more up here. And her face just dropped. They were going to be for my birthday, which was 2 months later.
Oh, and you found them.
she had to, like, kind of give me them all there. She said, yeah, okay, God damn it.
No, they're not really there. It's your imagination. Yeah, that's
my imagination, exactly. So I had a chuckle about that. But this is a great idea. Now, so in the FG, what was it?
AMD Arctic 7 FPGA.
Yeah, exactly. I always forget the letters. Essentially, that is hardware emulation, Gray, rather than software emulation. So we have heard of software emulation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally the hardware version of it. So some people say it's as true as you can get to the original. They're basically programmable chips that can mimic chips from back in the day. What I don't get is why they just can't make the chips from back in the day. Like, it's not as if that technology is dead. Like, it's been done in the past, so it can be done again. But maybe there's limitations. Maybe it costs too much. Maybe. There's reasons why it's never usually been done, and they do it this way.
Yeah.
It means it's a truer version of emulation than software, and you can plug in any original cassette to it, and it'll work just fine. Now, I was looking at this and I was thinking, I was tempted to buy it, but I was like, no. I'm as tempted as it is, I won't do it. I think it's something like £240-ish. And there are three models, but the coolest one is the one that's up $50, £50, and that's the kind of bloody rainbow-coloured one, like, you know, RGB and all that.
That's a picture that they use, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, the original one from back in the day, like the old horrible grey looking thing, mm-hmm. is the cheapest one, but then the one up from that is a really cool one. I've got it quickly here for our visual people, and I had a little chuckle to this. It's a great little kind of clip here of what it was like back in the olden days. So they had to do a before and after so you could get an idea, and the dress sense back in the day, man, wow. Yeah. It was so bad.
Well, it was so good, but then...
Did you have any of these things when you were younger?
I played with a Commodore 64, but I didn't own one. I knew people that had stuff, so I used to play around with that until I ended up getting my own PC. But I played on Amigas, I played on Commodores, ooh. But generally speaking, my first computer was an old Tandy when they came out in 1990.
I don't know it, though.
The thing that I was noticing, too, was I was looking at the article. They have three versions, apparently. So you can get the beige one that looks just like the original.
Like the old school one, yep.
And then they apparently have a Starlight edition, which looks purple or whatever other color might happen
to it. RGB. The one up, exactly. It's RGB. It's the one that was in the video clip there.
Right, but this is interesting now. They have a Commodore 64 Ultimate Founders Edition, which are going to be selling for $500. And I guess it has some snazzy color and whatever other logos or something to make it look interesting. So I'm sitting there like, I mean, I think the system is great for what they're trying to do, but yep. I'm not going for a Founders Edition. I mean, I could see maybe spending a little extra, like $50 more to get the one that can change colors. Otherwise, I'm fine with what it used to look like.
Well, would you get the top one again? Like, I don't see why you... Is it just, like, peripherals and stuff and more games? Because
I mean, they claim 10,000 plus. That's a lot of freaking games.
But was that not in the middle tier one as well? That's what I thought.
Well, they all have that. It's just that they're just changing. They just added color and charge you $50. I don't see anything special on the Founders Edition that would require it to be that much more, to be honest.
I don't.
The hardware specs actually is interesting. 128 megs of DDR2 RAM.
At least it's DDR2, not one.
16 megabytes of NOR flash. Okay. Mm-hmm. Storage, thumb drives, which you can use all kinds of thumb drives apparently here. It'll do 1080p at 50 hertz. That's in PAL or 60 hertz in NTSC. HDMI certified, virtually zero lag. Okay. DVI compatible. When have you heard that?
I mean, all the modern mod cons.
That's interesting. Let's see. They have S video and RGB and analog via DIN 8. This is going back. It's like a little mixture of old and new. It has three USB A's and I think it has a C, a micro SD. So it's got some of the, and they have a cartridge port, 99%, better than 99% compatible, it says, if you still own the games or whatever. Joystick paddles. I guess it's coming with all the old slash new goodies.
Yeah.
66 key mechanical keyboard. What else? Lighting. Case and keyboard lighting thoughtfully integrated into motherboard and configurable via menu. Adjustable pattern, speeds, brightness, but not on the basic beige model. Rocker switches. So that's a little better than... And garbage switches, so okay.
It's something for the modern era, like the HDMI and whatnot. But is that would actually inconvenience me because I know it's a superior connection, but I've got everything kind of wired, kind of just neatly and cable tied, and no more free HDMI ports on my TV. So actually, I would want an original so I could plug it into the. I assume it'd be the SCART port on the back of my CRT, where I've got a couple of old game consoles clicked up to just now.
Doesn't your emulator, the thing that you have, play all these games as well?
Yeah, right? So I have... I haven't set it up yet. This is an Intel NUC that I've shown before on the pod. And I got it for a really, really good price. And it'll do the job nicely. I do have a... Gray was able to get me a... I won't say his name on here because I don't get anyone into trouble. In fact, it's all over the bloody internet. Just look for yourself.
Yeah.
A guy that does a bunch of emulation games and he sticks them on like SD card, a 1 terabyte SD card, and he sends them to you. That's what you sent over to me, Gray, because it was free shipping from... He's in Canada. That narrows it down even more for you guys. He sent it from Canada to Florida and Gray sent it on to me so I wouldn't pay stupid bloody charges. And then literally... I'll just stick it in the SD card slot there, and that'll turn that into, nearly dropped it, a retro gaming station, which I'll
broken
just get.
A broken emulator, no.
I get a bit of some kind of tape stuff at there or a mount and put it in the back of the TV, and then I've got a little controller, and that'll be my emulation station. So, I don't really need it.
I think the Commodore that they're putting out is cool because it's kind of a neat little item to have and to say you have. I don't know how successful they're going to be in selling it because if I really wanted to get all the games, I'd sooner do what you did, and I would just go out and find a Commodore 64 keyboard somewhere and pay the guy $10 and put it in my room just to look good. And that's it. That's all I'll need,
Right.
I remember for the longest time, this goes back a bunch of years, but I always liked the mechanical switches, but way back, IBM, when they put out PCs, their IBM keyboard, if you remember them, they were big and they were heavy, were mechanical switches. And everything else was, you know, that came out, obviously, other than the IBMs at the time, were all just the membrane keyboards that we all knew. They didn't have any other types of keyboards out back then. But I always used to like the mechanical. So I sat there and I don't remember where it was, but somebody was tossing an old computer out, and there was a IBM keyboard, mechanical switch. And I go like, damn. So I took that thing and I found an adapter that would make it fit and plugged it into my computer. And I used that thing for years. It was great. Nice. Until all of a sudden they started coming out with the fancy keyboards, which of course I bought and I have now too, you know, because eventually my mechanical started, you know, having problems, whatever, because it was getting very old. So just in right in time, they started manufacturing mechanical keyboards, and the rest is history. But I had that sucker for a long time, man.
I love
it. It was just great.
I love some of the older keyboards, the nostalgia around them. Like the big, like you say, the IBMs or the BBCs, like probably not a real thing in America, the BBCs, but the British Broadcasting Corporation literally made their own computers. And they were actually very decent. They were in a lot of schools, they were educational things, but they had the big, massive keyboards, the big, huge ones. And I remember the IBM ones as well, actually, Gray. I actually done my work experience for IBM when I was in school, high school.
Yeah.
I went to work with them for a few weeks, some of the guys got paid, and I never get paid. Like some people, I think, literally the guys that were manufacturing whatever the chips are, like, there you go, pulled some money together for the young guys that came in to help them. But then I think the guys I was working with were tighter than two coats of paint, so they never gave me nothing. Cheapskates. If you're listening now to the pod, these are cheap. The good old days, mate, of the old memories of the old games and stuff. Like, I don't really need to do it because I've got the arcade cabinets. I've got like a one right beside me here, an Atari one that's got, it is emulation to be fair, but it's it is a 3/4 length arcade cabinet, and it's great fun for playing games in a go. So
I'll tell you, this IBM keyboard, it weighed a lot, man. This sucker was heavy.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you, the sound that the mechanical switches made were twice as loud as the mechanical switches I have here now.
Oh, clunk, clunk.
Oh, my God.
Imagine doing that now. Imagine doing that. I would rip Tarl a new one with the noise he makes, or Matt or something. Like, shut up.
I mean, I liked it. I mean, I loved all the clickety-clackety sound. But boy, man, you start typing, and all you hear is...
Some people love that. Some people swear by it. They want the same feel right now to this day. I'm like, no, sorry. I want the feel, but I don't want the noise. And they're called silent caps, aren't they, now? So you can get, I think it's the red, someone will tell me if I'm wrong, it's the red cherry that's traditionally the noisy one, but you can get red cherry silent ones.
Yeah, and they have brown ones, they call brown, and then there's a third one too.
I bet they're the cherry MX switches, the most popular grape, but there's loads of different types of switches out there, and I was looking into this. I don't need it to be fancy.
My Corsair programmable is about 7-8 years old now, but this is cherry switches when I got it, and it's
which color?
Great because it just doesn't break.
Which color of cherry?
Remember? The red.
The red? You sure? You should find out. I'd be curious to know what you've actually got there. If it's
the cherry switches, the cherry switches seriously had a little red cap on the top of it.
Probably and is then red then.
And then the brown ones had a little brown cap on top of it, and then there was a third one I can't remember. But each one was like, not so much today, but these three different types was, you know, less clacky, more clacky, middle of the road clacky. You know, so I went red because I wanted the clacky, but also because supposedly the reds were also more responsive.
Depends what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you want to play an FPS game, red is what they say you go for. But if you're doing business stuff during the day, you want the silent switches, man. Or you want I had a Razer Ornata keyboard. In fact, I still do have it. It was a hybrid. I can't remember what they called it, but it was a hybrid. It was like they were a bit mushy but clicky at the same time. It was weird. I love it. I actually seen that, Gray. I use like the Logitech like Lightspeed mouse and keyboard, and really, really fast response because they go wirelessly to a dongle. But I've actually got a Razer Huntsman keyboard and a mouse that at some point over the next several days I'm going to hook up. And these are like really good ones. Like the keyboard's like 60%, they call it, So like literally just the mini, mini tiny keyboards. I always found them adorable. I don't like massive keyboards. Don't like them, mate. So teach their own.
See, anyway. I'm the other way around. I like the large keyboards, but you guys in the audio world aren't going to see this, but when we do the video, you will. I mean, this is the full.
Wow.
The full board.
I hope you give that bad boy a clean.
These are all my switches over here, my extra switches for programming.
Who makes it? What's the brand?
Corsair. But if you know, I didn't see it, but the logo on here.
It's not Corsair.
The Corsair logo. The Corsair logo where they had that, I don't know what you call that thing.
It's
that
like wings or something, eh?
Yeah, some kind of bizarre looking. It looked more like a flying bug. And then they decided to change it to the Corsair sailing ship. But of course, mine's still the way it was. So.
Good. Guess who came online? Mr. Gray. Give you no guesses.
Mr. Matt will be joining us soon, we think. He's probably running over his notes right now.
I'm going to rip him a new one.
All right, well, that was cool. I enjoyed talking about the going down memory row, as they say.
Me too.
I guess until Matt gets on, we'll go ahead and with you, Trav. You have some industry tech news and whatnot.
Of course, man. I've changed the titles a bit because it all rolls into just news, really, doesn't it? Yeah. I split it up so I'm not talking for ages and ages because no one wants to listen to me for minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes. I've got a little lull to start with, something that won't surprise you. Mm-hmm. And the title of this article is Grand Theft Auto 6 is expected to be a record shattering release, generating, wait for it, Dr. Evil style, over $7 billion in revenue within 60 days. Right? That's what they clipped that shit.
That's what they're saying when it releases?
Yeah, so they've already spent approximately $2 billion on it. It'll be the most expensive game of all time because they're throwing everything at this, Gray. Think of a blank checkbook. What do you need? Oh, you need another artist? Well, you know, you're going away to the toilet for 10 minutes. Right, I'll hire another artist in for 10 minutes. There you go. And then just crack on. So literally they could do what they wanted. But there you go. Like literally they're going to get it back that quickly. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised that it could do that, but I don't know, man. 60 days to make that much seems a little bit.
Think of pre-orders. Pre-orders will probably be a billion of that to start with. So, and that's impressive. It's not even coming out in PC to begin with. And that's just between...
Oh, that's true. So they're not talking about PC sales. It's just
That's only three consoles. Well, actually, no. Two, technically four consoles. The PlayStation 5, the PlayStation 5 Pro, the Xbox Series S, the Xbox Series X. No mention of Switch 2. I don't think the Switch 2 will handle that, to be honest with you. But I might be wrong.
I might try that eventually.
With DLSS and whatnot. But I'll be curious to see what happens with that. The interesting thing is...
still a year away, though, right? Or more than that?
Yeah, May next year. Still May. I think it will come out May this time. Like, I don't know. I've just got a feeling. I knew it was going to be delayed, and this is so they don't crunch. So it probably will come out then. Although you would think, Gray, Grand Theft Auto 7, I know we don't have 6 yet, you think 7 would cost even more and take even longer, right? But the industry is expecting 6 to be the highest of all time because 7... is going to be taken over by AI. AI is going to take over a lot of the jobs and do a lot of stuff so it actually costs less. And we've got articles today where we talk about AI and they took our jobs, South Park Cell. Are you surprised by that, Gray? I don't think I'm surprised by that.
By the way, if the audio audience out there wants to learn more about that. We did a lot of that on the previous show, and you can find it on Spotify and everywhere. That was the running joke that the AI was going to create GTA 6 before GTA 6 comes out.
Yeah.
And technically, I covered this last time, but they have a rudimentary AI engine, if you want to call it, that did put out a GTA 5 looking like 6, whatever you want to call it. I was floored by it because they put it through different AI processes or AI companies that are specialized. You know, like some are very good at video, some are very better at audio, some are better at text to video, some are better at tech. It's just whatever. So yeah. This guy, they basically took the best ones that handle each of these phases and then just put the what they created initially through each one of these different AIs to let them let those AIs handle the processes that it does best. And by the time they came out the other end, I was like shocked at how good it looked. I mean, you're talking about ray tracing looking effects and everything.
Yeah.
And this is, and none of it was done, you know, by any kind of hardware. It was all just software, AI stuff. And I was just like, whoa. So, yeah. I mean, you won't need a GTA 7. You won't need to have $7 billion. You'll probably be able to put it out for a lot less and still sell it at the same price because, you know, they never go down and they'll make it'll make $25 billion and we're still going to pay the $100, but that's another story.
That is another story indeed, mate. Yes. But anyway, moving on from that part of the the Microsoft blow up that we had before when they were canning a lot of jobs, that I don't know if it's a continuation or part of it, but Matt, you're not only 20 minutes late, the background noise coming through your mic is horrendous.
It really sounds like a jet.
Yeah, turn your volume down a bit.
Oh, turn your volume back down again.
Right at the bottom.
No, it's a fan probably or something.
Fan? I don't have any fans. Yeah.
Well, it's probably your window then.
I haven't got a window.
I have a lot of fans. They write me every day.
But how about
only
now?
Fans. Only fans. Yes.
Yeah,
thank
now
you.
You're
That's
good.
Better.
Now
That's
sounds
better.
Good.
Good man. Yeah. So
weird.
I'm assuming
the GitHub software you might have cranked up too high.
Nah.
I'm assuming this is part of the. Actually, no, I'm not going to assume that and be generous to Microsoft.
Don't be.
This is more than likely going to be in addition to what they've been chopping off. I find this ironic, though, because this is AI-related still, Gray. Mm. And I know you normally do the AI corner, but you know you never picked up on it, so you're lost. King is in The King. Candy Crush, they make Candy Crush in other games, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they were part of Activision when they were taken over. Back in the day for mostly COD. These things were, there's two main reasons they bought that. COD, and on top of that, buying COD, they also wanted King because they make some of the biggest mobile games on the planet, and mobile gaming is the biggest division of gaming in the world.
Sure. Which
people might not agree on or they might not like, but it's a fact. Like literally 500 million Chinese alone regularly game.
You don't need any other audience right there.
There you go, exactly. Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And there's a lot of money in it because, like, I play a mobile game, but I play like Monopoly Go. So it's a quick game that I hold like this. Yeah, I don't have to, you know, I don't need a controller attached to it. It is touch orientated. So they wanted it for that. And Candy Crush is a huge game. We all know Candy Crush is a massive game. Not my cup of tea, but to each their own. However, here we go. The jokes and the lulls. Earlier this month, King cut around 200 staff as part of Microsoft's sweeping layoffs. Yes, it was part of it, which saw games cancelled and studios slashed across its business. Now, the cuts at King, which affect offices in cities such as London, Barcelona, or if you're Spanish, Barcelona, because you've got to save a little bit of the list there, Greg, if you're going to be nostalgic to it, you know, Barcelona.
If there was any orange, you'd have to roll them, you know. Like,
oh, big time, man, big time. So they've got a few offices, one in Stockholm as well. They affect things like middle management, which is good. There's far too much middle management in the world, people. The sooner you get rid of that, the happier people are. narrative, copywriting, things like that, these divisions. What's hilarious is they were creating, before they were given the bullet, you know, the chop, they were creating AI tools to, like, do levels and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So now they've been given the chop. Microsoft now want to use the AI they just created
to do more.
More content for their game. So to quote South Park, dig dugger derbs. Wow, it's a whole level of scummery with you, Matt. Oh, Jesus Christ, Matt! It's like the bloody, oh my lord!
What are you doing, man? Matt's upside down. You can only see this.
It's like Outer Limits, man. It's like Outer Limits. We just need some special effects and like the Doctor Who theme music in the background, and we're on to a winner.
Apparently, you're adjusting the camera, I guess, or something there. I have no idea.
Matthew, you are so unprofessional. 22 minutes late, crappy audio, and he's all over the gaff.
Sorry, I couldn't come any quicker.
Well, she didn't say that either.
She said, yeah, okay.
Definitely didn't say that either. Or maybe she did, actually. Not surprised, Gray.
No, this is the most embarrassing thing you can come up with, to have you hire a crew to make all this stuff for you and then say bye, goodbye. Now, to be fair, we don't know whether these 200 staff were hired on a temporary contract, because a lot of times games companies do that. They hire a bunch of temps that basically go from company to company to help work on stuff, and then they leave.
They're called peasants.
Yeah, whatever. So... I would assume that maybe that's the case, but it doesn't say that in the article. So, you know, if it is not the case, then that's crazy. I mean, here, thanks for making this for us. We don't need you. Goodbye.
It's a whole new level of scummery. It generally is. They don't even try to hide it or, you know, make excuses for it. Apparently, not long before, when they were making these AI tools and whatnot, it goes on to say in this article that most of the level design had been wiped, which is crazy since they spent months building tools to craft levels quicker. This is one anonymous staff member told the website Mobile Gamer. Now these AI tools are basically replacing the teams. Similarly, the copywriting team is completely removing people since we now have AI tools that those individuals have been creating. Now, the narrative side of things I get. Although it does suck, because AI is doing a very good job at replacing that, and actually it's got some imagination on it. It must be training itself on Matt, Gray, and my immature psyche, because that's the only way you get imagination like that. Mm. Can you imagine, actually, if AI was trained off our noggins? Oh, my Lord.
I keep teaching it.
AI's been listening to all our past podcasts we've been doing, so it's going to come out with a real winner soon.
If AI was listening to our previous podcast for training, it would be an equivalent of a computer AI psychiatrist office right now getting help.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Poor thing.
But like RoboCop, in RoboCop 2, where the guy rips off his helmet head.
Oh yes,
That's funny.
That's out, actually. Is it today or tomorrow, that new RoboCop game? Oh, by the way, the old RoboCop game, Rogue City, is like £2.69 at the moment, so like probably like $4 or something on Steam. Get it, guys. Really cheap, really good.
I would 15, do, but
20
I don't
hours
wanna...
long.
Only because I already got it.
I bought that, and I bought for $30 the new one that's not out yet. But then I just thought I could be wrong. But I thought I read an article that said that the second one, what's it called again? Business?
Unfinished Business. Rogue City Unfinished Business. It's like an add-on kind of thing.
I heard that that's coming to Xbox, and I'm sitting there going like, great, I just paid $30 for it, and now it's on my Game Pass.
So not from day one then, really?
I don't know if it's day one. I just remember reading something about it, that it was coming. So I have to
find out.
You probably
need Xbox base game for it as well, then, I'm guessing.
Day one's on the base pass, though.
No,
I don't know actually if you need the base game or not, because it's not officially DLC. It is its own technically separate game. Yeah. It probably was DLC actually.
It was,
and they probably just fleshed it out.
Yeah,
make it a little bit longer.
Great, you can't say day one without saying it in the kind of summer Xbox festival. Day one, world exclusive. I've got big balls. That's all they're doing. They're flexing every time they do it, man. World exclusive, big balls.
Well, remember later on in the video one, as you said that, I will be putting it in. So if anybody wants to see some of the fancy bells and whistles on our video version of this podcast, check out YouTube, and you will find day
or
one
stuff
popping up.
Or Spotify, you can choose the video version.
Or Spotify or Apple.
Spotify is probably better for the video version because you can literally flick between them, whereas on YouTube, it's a pain in the arse. It's two separate feeds. I wish they would make them go together.
I do too.
It's just stupid. Anyway,
I don't understand the whole reasoning behind that one.
One view in Spotify, it doesn't matter if it's audio or video, it still counts as a view or a listen, you know, same thing. So one interaction. But anyway, So yeah, I found that hilarious and sad at the same time. Like, Microsoft, you're proper scum, man. If anyone done a better gaming system for PC than you guys, and I say better, you're probably the main guys in the block. And before people come out and go Linux, I ain't touching Linux with a 10-foot barge pole for gaming. Man. Not happening. It is good, but I'm not. They're coming for you, Matt. They I hope are. They find you for being late.
Again.
It's their fault. they held you up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. So it's a shame Tarl's not here, but we are recording this at a slightly different time because he's the another big kind of super. He's more so than me, the hardware geek and that side of things. Mm-hmm. And it's AMD Ryzen news, Zen 6, because we're on 5 at the moment. CPU samples already distributed, architecture to be an evolution with more cores per CCD, new dual IMC design. Now, this is interesting because we like the chips that we've got at the moment, Gray and I, especially a bit of red sauce or brown sauce, sorry.
Curry sauce.
Curry sauce. Oh, chips and curry sauce. Now you're talking my language, Matthew. That was like Hannibal Lecter, mate. That was a bit freaky. But yeah, so we like the chips we've got at the moment, Gray and I. We've got the same chip. We get the 9950X3D, and it's good at both things, kind of gaming and for the kind of performance side of things in terms of like Adobe editing, creating, all that good stuff. But the possibility of adding more cores into the CCD is very useful because I think it maybe be more useful, actually, Gray, for the 9800X3D, because that's only got 8 cores at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. On one CCD, and it doesn't have another CCD, which is the, I like to call it the Adobe CCD. Mm-hmm. That's the one that we would use for then doing the
editing.
Productivity
side.
Yeah, productivity side. That's a better word for it. Cheers. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good thing to add more cores to it. They are talking about, and I assume this would be the one on from the 9800, whatever they call that. It would probably be 12 cores rather than 8 with hyper-threading. And they're talking about upping the cache to 48 megabytes per CCD. So that's another improvement yet again, because having cache on there is actually pretty useful. The problem you have with that is CCDs are pretty small within the chip. And trying to fit all these cores in, things get a bit toasty and hot. That's where they differ from Intel. Intel, they don't use the same design. Well, they will be next generation because they're copying, aren't they?
Yeah.
But for now, they just have the standard, like, all the bloody cores on the chip in general, and they have performance cores and efficiency cores. And
limitations.
See, if you look at the two chips side by side, they look very different. The AMD chips these days are more of a square with little kind of legs coming out of them. Never really understood what they were for. And then you've got the Intel chips that used to be squares, but now if you look at the more modern versions, I used to have a 9900K and I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was a square, but now as they got bigger with more cores in them, they look more like rectangles now. So this is another reason, Gray, why you need like new motherboards and stuff, like new designs.
But by the way,
physically you can't hold it.
You do know a square is a rectangle.
A bigger rectangle, then.
The reason I said that is because I never looked at it that way either. I always looked at square a rectangle, but technically, a square is a rectangle. It just happens to have equal sides.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Well. The traditional square has every single side that's the same. A rectangle has two sides that are the same and another two sides that are...
No, the definition of a rectangle is four sides.
Is that the same as that? No, it's not, my good friend.
I'm just saying that the definition of a rectangle is four-sided. Doesn't matter whether it's equal or not equal, it's still a rectangle. So technically you can goof on your friend just like I did now.
No, I'm not going to ever goof on that one. That is a very sad thing to know, and I don't think anyone and other granny and their dog gives a shit about that.
I don't do that either. Somebody just did that to me. That's why I did it to you. But they did that to me, and I'm going like...
This is a rectangle. Where's a square? There you go. There you go, boys.
Yeah, see?
Somebody didn't have one of those toys.
This
is the
blocks
circle.
Look at the circle.
So I found that interesting.
I want to interject because you've done this better than I do, Trev, but is Will the sixes fit the AM5 slots, or are we going to have to go?
AM5 is new. Okay. AM5 is only a couple of years old. AMD keep motherboard designs or socket designs around for years at a time. Intel could sometimes replace it every year, or they might go 2 or 3 years without replacing it. AMD, like AM4 still technically in circulation at the moment, and it's compatible with these chips. Mm. I think next year they might change that. Don't quote me on it if they haven't already.
Yeah. So we're safe if we wanted to buy the new
one. You're safe for the next half a decade, most likely. If they had to change it for significant gains, I wouldn't mind if they came out and just said, listen, guys, we could have tweaked it slightly, but we wanted to bring you some quality and value.
Sure.
You laugh at the background when I put quality and value into a hardware product. But I hope so. I hope so. Because we don't want to upgrade. He doesn't want to upgrade his godlike motherboard that he actually had to sell a testicle for.
Definitely don't want to do that. Go ahead, sorry.
So more cores on the CCDs, more cache. I think they're saying here, when they're talking about more cores, up to 24 cores. So I'm guessing, here we go, I'm calling this grade just now, that the 9800 follow-on is going to have 12, up 50%. And we have 16 cores, I believe, Gray, in our 9950
X3D.
And that is 8 and 8. So anytime you're doing productivity stuff, you're only using 8. That's the downside of AMD. You can't use 16 of them, but it's fine. You don't really notice too much. So the new one will be 24. So that's not up 50%, but it's still a nice increase, 48 threads.
Sure.
Pissed me off when Intel got rid of hyper-threading. That was just so stupid. Like, that for gaming, it's not as useful for gaming, granted, and that's their argument. But for productivity, it sure as hell is.
That's what it was aimed for, really, wasn't it?
That might have been their way to save some money, and they just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah. Another, AMD are not as good with their memory speed support as Intel. You can't run as high a memory. So, Gray and I think you're 6,000 megatransfers, Gray, or 6,400. Mm-hmm. I'm 6,400 because that's the safest, highest amount you can run without encountering issues. And we're also dual channel rather than quad channel with the motherboard I've got. Your motherboard will be quad channel now, Gray. Which quad channel, if you have the motherboard for it, is better than dual channel. So you're going to have to go into high memory again, mate. 4 sticks. Come on.
I just have to do it. 64
is not enough. 64 is not enough. So yeah, I find that pretty cool. Say AM5 will be the mainstays we just talked about before. And coupled with, I don't know if it's a total, 96 megabytes of on die cache. Jesus Christ, that's a lot. Mm. That's doubling it.
That's juicy.
So yeah, I find that stuff cool. I'm a bit sad. That's just me. But that is me for the hardware for now, Mr. Gray.
By the way, the 9950 X3Ds that we have, they said it is equal to, maybe even a tad better than the 9800 X3D. But the productivity side is 27% better.
They're exactly the same for gaming. They are exactly the same.
Yeah.
They
generally but 27% better on the productivity side, which is perfect. That's what I wanted, something that can handle both.
See, if you're looking at charts between the two, see when it comes to gaming, most of the time the 9800 is slightly above or slightly behind. It depends on the game. It slightly goes up or down. But you're right, for productivity, you just need to make sure if you've got one of those chips, guys, that the switching between the CCDs was a problem in the last couple of generations where it wouldn't switch automatically and you were losing performance. And now they've actually built a proper Windows scheduler that will actually do it. And the way it works is it actually uses Xbox Game Bar plugin because Windows will deploy that when it detects a game. And then the chip goes, oh, there you go. You must be a game. Let's change CCD. And Gray's noticed when he switched between things like these cores ramping up. And you can see if you have the right chart up, you can, like Task Manager, you can see the cores ramp up and down. You will get the odd game that's going to be older, like an older game that might not get picked up by the game bar. So you've got two things you can do. One, add it manually into the game bar. It's really easy and quick. Or two, just leave it because it's an old game. You can use the productivity cores.
You won't notice it anyway.
You won't notice it, man. You'll still get 10 million frames anyway, so...
Yeah,
absolutely. Anyway, that's me, Mr. Grip.
Cool. All right, Matt, since you have come in, we might as well go back on the notes a little bit and have you do your side of the game news and stuff.
Cool.
So take it away, man.
Right. So I have been on a venture talking about micro. What's going on here? Oh, there we go.
Something blew up.
Yeah, something went on. I was like, what's going on here? So, yeah, I was looking at micro PCs, mainly for transportation, productivity, and because Trev has one. And I don't want him just to be the only person that's having one. So, there we go. So these ones are quite nice looking. We got the Cyber Power UK NMLL series. Whew, that's a good old mouthful there. And let me just show you my thing here.
Show you my micro? Is that
my thing?
Is that what you want to
look really nice.
Let me
Matt.
Show you my micro bits.
It's a lot sexier than mine.
So there's a few products there from the Cyber Power themselves. It looks pretty nice. Very sleek. One that actually fits in the nice. Graphics card. I mean, these are bigger than your Nooks, for sure. But some are like shaped like the Wii's and all that stuff.
Are you copying me? You want something like I've got? Is that what you're doing here?
Yeah, yeah. But with better graphics.
You can use them maybe. As a server as well, actually.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Which is probably what I normally would do. So this one's quite beautiful, this one. Get rid of that. Yeah, so these ones are taken from a iCore i5 14400F with the RTX 4060 with a wonderful 32 gigabyte DDR RAM, DDR5, I should say, on there, with a 2 terabyte SSD. You can also get one with a Ryzen 7 7700 with the 5060 Ti built into it. And again, 32 gigabyte DDR5. Or the Ryzen 7 9800X3D with the RTX 5070 still banging on with the good old 32 gigabyte RAM.
You know, the gray ones, I'm looking at the pictures, but the grayish looking ones, yeah. Or beige, whatever we're calling it, they look like small portable air conditioning units.
I would say that, yeah.
They don't look like computers. The green, why did they do the green one? There's a green one here. And by the way, you audio people, you can see it on the video, but they have a green one. That looks awful. I'm sorry, man. That green
like an
80s is
an radiator
awful color.
Or toaster.
It looks like puke green, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, that was not my favorite one at all. And that's only got the 5060, 8 gig RAM. Don't get the green one. The green one's gross.
Yeah, that's why they didn't need the green one.
But the Wii lookalike, the Elite, that's got the Ryzen 7 7700 with the 5060 Ti and the 32 gig RAM. DDR5, of course, 52,000.
The prices are okay.
So you're looking at from 1,300 to £2,500 for them. So they are quite
15.
Yeah, they are quite the book.
For people that really want an affordable computer that they can play some games with, at least this gives them an option.
Absolutely, yes. So there is that. There's also the Game Max Claw. This one kind of looks really nice. It's very much. Let me grab that. There it is. It's invisible. What do you think of that one?
Click that arrow. See if anything pops up.
Matt's got ad blockers and
stuff.
Don't
worry, I can put it in later.
He's probably you've probably blocked it out, man, because you've got ad blocker.
I don't.
No, that does happen sometimes. I don't understand with the browsers. I'm not really sure why that does that, but.
Yeah, shame.
Did you change the pictures at the bottom if you clicked on a little small pictures to see if another one comes up?
Let me see. Open image, new tab. Let's see if I can do it.
There you go.
Hey, there we go. I just right-clicked on it. Very odd. Let's have a look.
Boom. Superior thermal performance.
Absolutely. So
Wait a minute. Look what it says. It says, where air moves with style. That was one of the corniest things I've ever read. Sure, it moves in style. What does that mean?
Well, it goes angular rather than just straight head on.
Oh, okay.
Because it's got like the vents that are like diagonal. So yeah,
I'm definitely buying it because of that style. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean it's an interesting micro ATX case. It does support a 420 millimeter GPU. So 50 series, should be all right in there. I think you could do a vertical as well. Yeah, you can do. There you go. It's also got the Type-C Gen 2s and GPU support bracket integrated in there as well. So that is just looking gorgeous. I'm just like looking there going, yeah.
Is this Claw all new or is it made by a manufacturer we know?
It's made by GameMac.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not it's not like one of the higher brands sort of thing. And I've been trying to keep away from the higher brands, but, you know, they're actually becoming a lot more reasonable priced for, I think from the last time I've shown a few PCs mm-hmm. that were medium desktops at a reasonable price for it. You got your extra Type-C, better airflow, included fans, for £100, £200 max on one of the premiums. So they're definitely showing a lot more.
Matt, why do you want one of these? Is it for gaming or is it for like the cert? Because like what you showed me and this are two different things.
They are,
this
yes.
is way smaller.
Yeah. So I kind of may have plugged them into the wrong thing. I was supposed to click on the boss game one.
You plugged them into the wrong hole.
I did. So this is what I wanted to show you as part of the mini PC build. I just had the wrong thing around.
They've got their place, mini PCs, man.
They do, like they
some
do.
People, that was my first ever PC.
There you go.
Mini PC.
Well, that's interesting looking.
96.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? 96
gigabytes
of.
That's RAM.
Of RAM.
Oh wow!
My God.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Why so much?
Because everybody needs
because
it.
Because nobody else does.
True, yeah. Pretty much, it's trying to say, this is what we got, this is what we can do. As you see, it is a beauty. I think it might be a little bit bigger than your one. I think it looks more like a router that you would have.
Yeah, it does look like a router. Yeah.
So it's an Boss Game AIM5 Powerhouse AI-focused mini PC with a Ryzen AI Max 395. With 16 core and 32 threads. It's got the Radeon 8060S GPU, which is pretty much like your 4070s out there. And it's got an extendable RAM of up to 128 gigabytes.
You wouldn't have to go much more. It's already got 96.
I know, exactly. I mean... yeah. And it's also got a beautiful 2 terabyte SSD as well.
That's good.
Which one are you buying?
I'd probably get this. And I might integrate it into work, but what happens.
Difference in price.
The price is good.
The one you're talking about is 1165. This
was
£130.
Yeah. Does it have, can you change your RAM? How much RAM thingies can you do?
32? I don't know. I think it's 16. Because it's an emulation station.
It is, yeah.
Thing is, right, these PCs have got their place in society. They do.
They do.
My first ever PC was
a few specs
Matt
on the
was
side.
Shown before. Like the mini, that one with the superior airflow.
A little smaller.
Design.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at this one, you can see that it's better. Well, okay, more than a mini PC per se.
Yeah.
Because I had the mini PCs that I got three of my different friends and set them up for them were more like the size of a Trev's, except they're more of a rectangle versus a square.
Yeah.
And they're super happy with it because they don't game. So they're
But even if you wanted to game great, like the first one, the cheesy one that Matt showed us with the superior airflow, mm-hmm. they've got their place. Like, see if you were going to a lot of LAN shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Insomnia, USO. To take away, you can actually get the ones. Yeah. You can actually get ones that are built into it, suitcases, PCs as well.
Many ones,
so you can take them about with them with really cool designs. And as well, because you've got DLSS and NVIDIA cards now. Imagine it. I saw the one there that had it was the Ion Elite mini gaming PC that was like the first link from CyberPower PC that Matt had, and it had a 5060 Ti in it, but there's also a 5070 here. See where it's DLSS 4.0 and a decent CPU. You're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually game very well in such a small unit. Don't rely on a lot of air cooling. Like if you can put like a small 240 rad fan in there to cool at least the CPU and have like the GPU facing out the way. You can actually keep these things relatively cool, but you
bring an aircon unit with you.
It was my first ever PC, I remember it. And I don't know why I built so small. I just enjoyed the challenge. And it was so footery trying to get in, like, little, because if you have bigger hands, you're like, going to rip something up. But I wouldn't go back that small. Now I'm in a full tower, boys. Literally a full tower. It is huge, my PC.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm sitting looking at this. I didn't think I'd ever go bigger than what I had. I'm looking at this thing. Yeah. You know what? Bigger is better, man. It looks great.
You can fit a lot more in. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
It's are we still
less
talking
of a
about
theft deterrent as well? Because nobody was going to steal it. It's too blooming heavy.
Are we still talking about PC cases? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
I don't think we are. But...
Hope so.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I hope, you, I hope
it's too much stress to mine.
I hope you do build something like that, Matt, or
it says duty and that not included, so it's a little more expensive. But
oh,
that's not
really?
Bad. Still not bad.
You're supposed to include things like that exactly. When you buy
look
new
at, I just noticed it on the site. I'm going like duty and VAT not included.
That's another 20%. Add on another 20% for that.
Right. Scrap it, throw it in the bin. Delete it. I didn't say nothing.
I like the unit, but to be honest with you, I'm looking at it. I'm going like, that's kind of ugly too, man. I mean, what is it? Can't they come up with something a little?
Yeah, they all look like Wi-Fi speakers or some aircon or router style gimmicky thing.
You know what I thought was
interesting.
Cool? A minute ago, you said something about bringing it in a suitcase to a LAN, right?
Hmm.
What would really be cool is you actually have a suitcase and you make the suitcase the case.
Some people have done that with their hard cases.
I think that'd be neat. Yeah. And then you just put the suitcase down and just plug things in.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant, right?
I like that. That's kind of neat.
It is pretty cool. Yeah.
You can even have like a brand name on the suitcase, so it looks like, you know, something fancy. And then you just kind of slide the sides off, and then the air goes in, and there you go.
Oh, there you go.
I think we should do that.
There's a challenge, people. Listeners, if you're into building and cosmetics.
And if you do that, send us an email and give us pictures of it.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody out there.
Do a showcase. There you go. That'd be beautiful. It'd be interesting to see people's builds out there, see if people are actually still creating massive, amazing things.
They used to do that back in the day. Extreme PC was the magazine, which I had a hiatus at then.
Yeah.
That's when I fell out of everyone. And they were making a PC like little PDF thing every, was it week or month or something, and it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
People would put in their own builds and stuff and they'd be showing off. But they got lazy and stopped showing making the magazine because I think Jansen couldn't be arsed making it anymore. So.
I think some of that has turned around. Now everybody's looking for not having so much on the PC as they used to.
Yeah, I think they've grown out of the RGBs and the customs and the loop
things. And I think
things,
that the mini PCs and stuff are somewhat of a reflection of that.
Yeah.
But the real reason on the mini PCs is price. There's no doubt. I mean, because when you can start making mini PCs, it's so cheap. I mean, the ones that I got from my friends were, I think, 400 each. And it's great. And it does three monitors at 4K, or it can do three monitors at 4K. Yeah. And I'm like, out of this little thing? I'm sitting there going like, wow, that's like crazy, man.
That's it. But, you know, book versus productivity. I think you got it in the bag pretty much from them. They're very beautiful, versatile. Definitely a lot easier than grabbing your PC and going to a mate's house, going camping, going on holidays, just pick it up, boom, there you go.
The old days of LAN parties, you had to bring a beast that weighed like as much as you.
Yeah, this is why I never brought mine or ever went to one. Too expensive.
I remember people that actually had, they actually built a handle on the top of it somehow, and they would just, so they could pick it up and, you know.
Yeah, I think Asus did a few cases with handlebars built into it.
One last thing on your notes I want you to talk about, because I thought it was kind of funny. It says switches off for you permanently. This is Travis Fecht. What is that?
Yeah.
Explain that one. What happened?
Travis Fecht is done, and he's not around to say anything. Oh, he's back. Jesus.
So what was the reasoning on those notes? Yeah. What happened?
So I was just reading up on Switch 2 consumers where their machines are getting blocked and bricked. So since the launch of the Switch 2 in June, a growing number of users have been reporting their consoles being bricked. rendered unusable due to Nintendo's aggressive anti-piracy enforcement team. This issue has escalated into a legal and consumer rights debate, especially in Brazil. So the time of it. Yeah, go on.
You gotta love a Brazilian.
Oh, absolutely. Every way you can have a Brazilian, do
My
it.
My friend lives there, so.
Absolutely. Oh, I'd love to live right there
have
in
you
a
seen
Brazilian.
His Brazilian, yeah?
Have you what?
You seen his Brazilian?
He's talked a lot about him when he's on the beach.
I bet he is.
I've no comeback to
that. What she said.
Yes. Well, I think side note. I think he told me that Brazil has 2-to-1 female population to male.
Oh, boys, we're moving over.
I can work from there. It's not in the red district. It's all good.
I'm like 2-to-1. Yeah, yeah. I said, how'd that happen? I was just curious because I'm thinking like, how did 2-to-1 happen? Like, that's what
somebody got it right.
How's your Portuguese, boys? Need to start working on it.
Oi, Benito.
Non-existent.
I can learn from a lovely lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look, you go down there. You only have to know like 3 or 4 good pickup lines in Portuguese.
Yeah, my girlfriend's gonna kick my ass when she hears this one, and she goes, "How do you only just say that?"
All you need to really know is like, where's the food? Where's the bathroom? And where's your place?
That's all you need. That's all you need. And are you done?
And I need
the brick switch thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing. I understand why they're doing it, but you should have the right to back up your own games.
Absolutely, I think so. I think it's a bit overkill. I mean, yeah, you know, if you're trying to crack it and do dodgery didgeries on it, then yeah. But you know, at the end of the day, somebody's bought that device, and unless they're renting it and you're going to give the money back, you shouldn't have that power to do it. You know,
yeah, you can do it remotely.
Absolutely, So, timeline events. Do you want to know those? I'll tell you anyways. They're nice people.
No problem.
Yeah.
So, May 25, Nintendo updated its user agreement to include the right to permanently disabling devices. In June, the official release happened of the Switch 2. And then from the 17th to 18th, these were the beginnings of the reports of consoles being bricked due to the mega flash drives, which people have been sticking in to do the doobries. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, just wink, say no more. Yeah, and then June 25th was Brazil's Consumer Protection Agency, Procon, which issued a formal complaint against Nintendo's bricking policy. Good on them. I think everybody should actually start doing that.
Yeah.
Not only just for Nintendo, for everything. July this month, the legal challenges have intensified with global media coverage and user backlash increasing by the hundreds.
Or thousands.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know what the exact figures are because they're not disclosed by Nintendo. Of course, they won't be. But a lot of resources are saying it's a ton. So thousands. I'm looking at the thousands, definitely, from that, who have been affected. Online forums, Reddit threads show dozens of first-hand accounts, with many more likely unreported. And, of course, especially with prevalent and long second-hand buyers who unknowingly purchase consoles that have been previously flagged for piracy. The trigger of detection, pretty much that threw this up, is the MIG flash cartridge that people use for backups and for pirated games. Unauthorized modifications, that's one of their exceptions there. Violations, of course, to their user agreements. So console users, the people who have this will get an error code 21244508, which indicates the permanent restrictions.
Was that a star date? I just wondered if that was a star date. Sure,
it is, Jim, but not as we know it. There you go. May the force be with you.
Yes. No, that's the other one.
Yeah,
I know.
Secondhand market risks. So a lot of these machines that have been bricked are going out on secondhand sales through your eBays, your Amazon, all the shenanigans, and people are actually buying them and finding out later on that they've been bricked, they've been blocked, they can't do anything with them. So even legitimate backups from that will throw it into chaos. It's absolutely awful. So, yep, Nintendo maintains that bricking is only occurs in cases of piracy and unauthorized use. I think that is a little bit loose term there. Users are reporting successes. Put my teeth back in, love. We're going for a ride. Mixed successes for appeals against some bans after proof of legitimate purchase. So, you know, guys, it's always worth going back to them and say, look, you're out of hand. Here's me proof. Here's me bits. What are you going to do? You know, sort of thing. So even though there's no clear appeal process for banned consoles, get in touch with the tech teams there. Try your luck and publicize them as well. You know, get them out there just to see if that helps.
What do they make of this? Is it a good thing, a bad thing? Are they overstepping their mark?
I think they're overstepping in a way, especially because, you know, people are using cartridges to do their backups, as you say. They have their games on there. They're talking about, you can use backdating on games. And this is kind of contrary to that belief. It's, you know, it's showing that you can't actually do that. So, yeah, I think they've overstepped big time. Mm-hmm. Or they've just put a broad narrative into their scripting, and they've just automated it and thrown it on. And
you said they changed their policy. Literally, they changed their terms and conditions to suit themselves.
Pretty much, yes.
They just make up as they go along. Nintendo are, I'm just going to say it.
Say it.
They're Nintendo are arseholes. They're up there with Microsoft. In fact, they should.
Ubisoft.
See if Nintendo and Microsoft had a bastard child, it would be Ubisoft, probably, actually. No, Ubisoft's the crazy uncle on top of the mother and father.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just scummy.
It's the one that buys the sweets. Yeah, it is.
They want to destroy your games.
They sat in a Discord for weeks or months gathering information from the emulation sites before they shut down a website. And just to quickly touch on that as well, without saying too much,
mm-hmm.
A popular emulation site that had a lot of old Nintendo ROMs in it was shut down. The FBI stepped in to shut it down. I'm thinking, wow, okay, you're grassed up to the FBI to get the website shut down. If I'm the FBI, I tell you to go and sling your hook. We're trying to catch bad guys here. But no, that's part of their job, apparently. They have to shut this down if someone's breaking a law at that level.
I'd call that a civil matter.
And seeing the list of those websites.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain fit person in there, if you know what I'm saying, boys. Website was there as well, so be careful.
Oh,
thankfully, no Nintendo games I don't think are on there, or very little, so probably safe.
Yeah. For now. I've managed to get some games going on there. Maybe. Couple, if anybody's looking for me, I live in Africa. In Wakanda.
It's your address, right?
Yeah.
Wakanda,
left to the right of the tree.
Wakanda, whatever country.
Yeah, with all the high tech next to that one.
I live in Mars, so you're completely screwed, man. Yeah. You need a ship to come and get me.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a base on the moon and you're fine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Will that be called
international? Can't go outside much,
not my cup of tea, mate. No atmosphere.
Yeah,
I heard the atmosphere is a bit dull there.
Anyway, Matt, since we covered a lot of the stuff already afterwards, why don't you just roll right into your game review?
I actually
want to hear about this because we haven't played the game in so long.
I want to know what's new from the last time we all played it to now.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well.
Name of this game is what Microsoft is and what Ubisoft is.
Massive Scum. No, it's not called that.
Or the stuff that's around the tub when you don't clean it.
Scummy dudes. Yeah.
I don't know which is worse, actually. Scum.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Scum, I'm back in Scum after their 1.0 updates, and they're updating it so regularly.
When we were playing it, I think it was like 0.7 or 0.8 or something.
It was still early access. That's why we got it cheap, boys.
That is, yes, yeah. Definitely.
All I know is if I come back in that game, my Danny Trejo better still be there.
Oh, yeah, Danny Trejo's still there. Yeah, absolutely. If you got the DLC characters, they're still showing up. So, yeah. It's brilliant. There are a few new things. They heavily invested in more programmers to make sure they can fix as many bugs as possible. They have improved the overall experience of the game. They have. I can't say anything wrong with it. It's actually pretty good. There are some interesting functionalities that have been requested by people. There's the ability to eat and drink while resting. Doesn't sound like much, but it is kind of a big thing. It's a big deal.
And you can
drinking on the toilet.
Yeah, you having a shit, you can eat your crisps.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. What? Lying down. Yeah, because back then you couldn't do anything. You could either, you had to stand up and eat. And that was it. You couldn't do anything in between. So they've kind of buffed it a little bit where you can actually now do the rest thing and eat and go into your inventory and stuff and sort that out on the go rather than having that done. Cool. Bug fixing. Yeah, already said that. They've worked on the animations. They've worked out some bugs with them as well as the materials. They've worked on the sound as well, which is very nice, I must say. Cool. Yeah. So what else have they done?
Does it look any better? Is it graphically?
It does, yeah. Especially they've changed the night and day cycles, which are now...
Yeah, now it's day and night instead of night and day.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. and it's customizable as well on how long you want them.
Never do stand-up, Gray. Never do stand-up.
Yeah. Sit down and do it. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, they've added more... stars, more colorings. It looks more vibrant, especially with the sunsets and sunrises as well, which looks beautiful from there.
Can you still shit out a golden desert eagle?
Yeah, can. And a pineapple.
Yes.
So
pineapple. Oh, yeah. Jesus, that's going to hurt.
That is going to hurt. Yeah. It is going to rock your body there. Yeah, so pretty much zombies they've changed, or the puppets. They have changed where normally you get to a brick wall or a window or a door and they won't go any further. Ha! Yeah! They're coming in, baby. They're coming through the doors. They're coming through the windows. They're coming at you.
Even if you have locks on them and stuff?
They will bash those doors like there was no tomorrow. They will keep bashing.
It's like 28 bloody years later or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we're going to have to build much higher fences.
Absolutely. They can climb or jump up quite excessively at the moment. But yeah, I think your character can climb up on like small garages where you can actually jump up and throw yourself up, which is probably the best way. But if you can get up there quite easily, so can the zombies, which are horrific. And they can call in a horde where they're screaming and shouting. There's a few extra beasties in there.
Is this a horde or a whore?
Horde.
Just checking, because you said screaming right after it, and I thought this...
I was talking about the person downstairs screaming horseback.
Oh, yeah, on the bloody bike, man. What is this? Are they just racing up down your street?
I was going to say, I thought maybe it was a chainsaw. They're trying to saw your apartment.
Do you want to throw some oil in front of the front tire, mate, just for loads?
Oh, that's what happened to that. No, that's not what happened to the car that ended up in the tree next to me. but it just proved we get a lot of police in this area, but they do call. They're a bit like the New York police, they do nothing but pick their noses and play Candy Crush.
And eat donuts.
while wanking off at the same time.
You guys have no aircon. See, my windows are closed, so I'm not going to hear this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Florida's always been bloody hot. The UK was always bloody cold until recently.
Yeah. It's horrible.
You guys are going to have to invest in aircon soon. Stick a wall unit somewhere.
Absolutely.
Have you seen these old tenement blocks, mate? You can't just throw them on. Just
put them in a window, man. They have all kinds of...
Landlords and building associations started to do complainings about air cons and the use of them and energy and all that shenanigans.
Well, that's going to change. Everybody sweats to death.
New builds should have them on by standard.
They should do by now, yeah.
Tangents, you need to play Darth Vader on these tangents again.
Absolutely. The problem is you don't have anything new over there. That's the only problem.
True. Yeah, we're still rocking the 80s. or the 50s. Yeah, so
the
anyways,
1890s.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, it's beautiful. They've restructured quite a bit of it. It is harsh. They actually give you the options now for mechs and puppets in your thing, as well as NPCs. They've added NPCs. That was it. To certain areas and certain options there. So
we not turn the mechs off when we played mech, because we didn't want
you're all a bunch of wusses, bunch of pussies.
I mean, that's two threats. I'm happy with puppets.
They have problems with their Lickma. Lickma balls.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Lickma nuts.
That was a Danny Trejo one.
Yeah.
I remember.
Did they say what was it? What was the line?
No, I don't want to say it too often, but you know.
I've got a problem with Lickma.
Yeah.
Lickma nuts.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's what he says.
Hey, I love that guy. It was grazed Danny Trejo just going about the map, going up, Trev, you heard this, and he played the noises, and then he'd start pissing himself laughing, and I was laughing at him laughing. Then he'd run up to Matt, have you heard the noises? No. Then he'd run up to someone else, someone else has just logged in. Have you heard these noises, guys? Listen.
Up to random person on the server. Here.
That was one of the best things they ever did when they put Danny Trejo in there. I bought it the day they had it.
And then he does that, lick my ball.
Oh, dear. I want to see a Danny Trejo meet another Danny Trejo. See, that would be cool.
Yeah. He can do the other bits that he says.
That's
now
what
I can't remember.
We should get back in the game and then get a couple other people. We all do Danny Trejo. Yeah. And then build a fort. And we all just talk the same and do the same.
Yeah, just sit around in a circle. We'll just sit on chairs. And just do that. It'd be called an intervention. I've jumped on somebody's server, and it's an absolutely fucking fantastic server. It's brilliant. It's called, I gotta tell you, Nothing Stays Dead. It's called.
Okay.
Maybe I should take that back, because now a lot of people are gonna join.
Oops.
Oh, don't go.
There goes your secret.
You give yourself too much credit, Matt.
Yeah, but it's amazing. And they've integrated their Discord to have a Discord shop. They got a lottery system, new player things, bot status. You get to win the lottery and stuff in this thing. It's amazing. You can do votes as well on what you want, what you don't want, whether you want more rain, less rain, this, that, and the other. It's brilliant. It's got a shop thing.
No mix.
It's got kill feed. Oh, it's got mechs. We all said, nah, no, we mechs. Want mechs. We're not pussies. It's got a taxi thing going on. It's got vehicle shops from there. So you can't literally just mash loads of vehicles and take them as your own. There's certain rules and regulations. You got traders. You got a whole shebang going on. It'll tell you anything and everything you need to know. It's got its, if there's problems, it's got it all. It's got it all. Ivy must go. Yeah. Get your club cards out. Get them all out. Boom. It's wonderful. But it's fantastic. I've been playing that 3 weeks now, and I haven't stopped yet.
Oh, okay.
I've only just built a hut, a shack, a hut for me bits and bobs.
Have the zombies burned it down yet when you come back on?
Not yet. But, that's another thing. They've got Canadian ships coming now. It looks like
Discord 9
coming at you. And
we get puppets, we get mechs, and now we're getting probed.
Yeah, anally probed by everything.
You're the one that said anally. I just said probed. You went there, man.
That's part of their standard thing of having anal.
You meant analytical. That's what you meant.
Yeah. That was it, yeah. But somebody abbreviated it, and now they just go for anal.
Yeah. It's all part of the word.
This is how anal got invented.
Okay.
So
let's move on. I guess I'll come on with my next thing. Game news we're still doing. A little bit of more information about the new Expanse RPG, which is I've been waiting for. In fact, I have never ever actually became a supporter or I don't know what they call them, or a founder or whatever of a game that was coming out. But this time I did, just because I was convinced by what I saw and also what I read. So I went ahead and plunked down the money, even though the game may not be out for another year or so. But it just impressed me that much. So basically now I'll have some special doodads. Like my name will be in the credits somewhere and in the special Hall of Fame or whatever they're making. I forget. But in any case, people were looking at some of the things that we all have seen. And they're starting to throw comparisons to the original
to Mass Effect. And so their comment was, he said that they're very humbled by the fact that people would even try to, you know, compare them to Mass Effect. But they did want them to know that we're not copying Mass Effect. We're going to make our own story. It's going to be different. And they basically were saying that their inspiration, yes, does come from there, because that was one of the go-to games, and, you know, of all time. So yes, that's true. But they're trying to make the game be more like The Expanse, which you could tell even in the trailer and some of the footage that we've seen. If they hold on to that and do what we all hope they're going to do, it'll be nice. Either that, or I have to go back to them and say, like, I don't want to be a founder. Give my money back.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting about this, and I'm getting more excited now, they said that players are going to be able to choose a different planetary origin for their character and the way it plays out. So in other words, if you want to be a character that of a Mars origin or Earth origin or Belter origin, right, you can choose that.
Order.
Yes.
And you'll be able to select this from the start of the game. And basically, it's going to also carry whatever stigma that each character brings along. So that if you're, somebody of Mars origin, you aren't, not Mars, but Earth origin, you're not going to be welcomed to the series. Which is a moon of Mars. But if you were of the Mars or you're born there, then of course they're going to sit there and say, hey, come on in. So I think that's kind of cool. Instead of just blanketing and making anybody just be able to come in, if they know that you're from Earth or whatever, they're going to go, hey, wait a minute, you know. But if you're Mars-born, they're going to go like, oh, no problem, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like the guys are kidding around, Belters are going to be part of that too. Can you imagine everybody's going to be a Belter? Other character.
Yeah.
We want to be a Belter, man.
Yeah.
So, but just to know that they're doing that much really is getting exciting to me. I think that's pretty cool. And apparently there's going to be places that you visit that will be more to your whichever origin you picked. So there may be places where you may never be able to land based on your origin, and vice versa for all the other people. So there could be places that you won't be allowed to discover because you are not of the right origin, you know, and stuff. Or you get yourself blown out of the sky. I don't know which, but something like that. So I'm really looking forward to this, man. I hope it's not going to be too long, but man, it's not going to be out next week. We all know that. So looking forward to it, man. Really looking forward to it.
Is it going to be like a co-op or MMO style, or is it just going to be story-based single player?
That's a good question. I'm trying to remember when I read it the last time.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have both aspects, but initially I think it's going to end up being single player, and then they're going to introduce their plans are to have that everything.
That'd be nice.
That'd be cool, because it'd be nice playing a different character, like, especially when you're in one of the ships, you know, they're going to make this more realistic. So if you're captain, you're captain. If you're a guy on the weapons, you're a guy on the weapons.
Are they going to do the ships like Elite Dangerous or like Star Citizen?
I haven't heard anything about that yet. I mean, the trailers and stuff show that they get off ship and go on other ships and attack
Mass
stuff.
Effect, because they did that as well. They were the first ones.
Yeah, exactly.
They?
So that's why I'm thinking that, you know, I don't think they're going to do it that way.
Yeah,
you know?
Just don't do Starfield style.
No, they're going to come out with a game that's complete and then build upon it from there.
Yeah.
But hopefully. Anyway, the way it seems. So I thought that was kind of cool. So unfortunately, I got to wait a little longer, but as long as it's done the right way and we can have some fun with it, it's fine with me. The other story I was going to say, and I know Trev wants to chime in on some of this, but they talked to a prominent games industry analyst. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of job? Yes, I'm a prominent games industry analyst, so I can look over all the anal things that go on.
Yeah.
I'm in the industry. this person said that he believes that the biggest threat to games is not the subscription services like Xbox Game Pass, but he feels that the live service games are actually worse as far as that's concerned. I don't know what to make of that, but I understand what they're talking about. They said that the problem is that so many gamers now are doing live service that it's kind of harming the rest of the industry when it comes to just getting, you know, a good single player game out that has nothing to do with live service, you know, et cetera. And he feels that it's actually going to damage the industry and might even change it in the years to come. I know we all talked about it a little bit. I don't know what you guys think about that, about this guy kind of confirming some stuff we've been talking about, but don't offer opinions all at once now.
I know.
They are unsustainable. No.
Can't hear you, Trev. Sort out your mic, mate. Whoa, come on now.
Microsoft, no, because I was still thinking about what I was saying. Microsoft are really, really rich, so.
And I would answer if I could hear you.
Yeah.
Put the mic a little closer to your mouth.
Yeah, eat
I haven't
it.
Changed anything, boys. Yeah, I haven't muted anything. I haven't changed anything.
When you went like that, you got a little closer. So say that again.
Microsoft are really rich, so it kind of doesn't make any difference. Unsustainable is in how much they spend on it to what they get back. I think I talked about this in the last fortnight, about how much money they'll buy games for their Game Pass, and they could go as high as like 50 million. For the kind of COD equivalent games back in the day, to as little as 50K. It just depends what game it is.
Yeah. I mean, if they're paying 50 million in order to get a day one on their Game Pass, I guess it sounds like a lot of money, and I agree it's money, but then again, if you had to produce the game yourself, it would cost 10 times that. So it works for them, I guess. I mean, I got to admit, day one is kind of interesting on Game Pass. World premiere. we've all had our fun with it, so I can't, I don't know if it's going to destroy the industry. I mean, if all there is live service and nothing else, yeah, I guess that would be not good. But there's plenty of indies guys out there that aren't participating in all that. But they said that the top 10 live service games are sucking up about half of all gaming hours on the PS and Xbox. They didn't mention PC really in that.
Interesting.
But they said that you risk, of course, because some could be like Concord or X Defiant or Rumbleverse, which are all gone. Not everybody can be a Fortnite.
Yeah, I don't think I think it is sustainable, because at the end of the day, everybody's paying a monthly, no matter what, and that's continuation where you've only got like, you only sell an item once physically, that's it, boom, or digitally, that's it, people aren't paying any more than that, so eventually through the long run you are still paying for that game over and over and over again, so you kind of will manage to make that money back from that sort of sense.
First of all the skins and all the other extras that you buy of the games, their profit margin on those things are far greater than anything else. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's almost like printing money. That's how much they make. I mean, to sit there and create a skin might take one programmer like 50 seconds and it's done. And they can go and sell that for, God knows what, depending on how popular it is. Fortnite, I got to admit, I play Fortnite off and on once in a while with my grandson. And I myself have bought two or three different things in there. Terminator.
Stop using your grandson as a cover, a front to play Fortnite, man.
We saw you play it. Yeah.
I only play when I'm on with him. But I bought the Terminator skin so I could look like the Terminator. I bought the Alien skin, which is really cool, and he looks just like the Alien. Now they're introducing the Superman, but they're making it harder to get that at the beginning. You have to do a bunch of stuff to get it. However, before you actually attain it, though, what they did was that if you find certain Superman crystals, it will turn you into Superman for a limited time. So you can actually kind of enjoy the character, but only for a limited time. And then eventually you can become, or pick on the character if you do a bunch of different things or whatever. So and they also threw in the engineer, I think, from the new movie as well. I don't know whether Luther's in it, but anyway.
Mr. T's in it, surely.
But I got to admit, they do look cool. When I'm playing the game, I like to look like, the Alien or Terminator.
So what do you do to not be overpowered? Like, you can fly and stuff to get across, but, you get lasers
good question.
Stuff.
I don't know. I'm assuming that they can't, let's put it this way. The Superman in the new movie is underpowered anyway, so.
Is he?
Is he?
He is. So in this game, I think there must be something that somehow they're going to limit it, or whatever.
Somebody classed Henry Cavill's one to be the lesser powerful Superman
in movies.
I don't think he is. Graves is upset because he got his arse kicked at the start of the movie. Yeah, but then again, yeah,
for
to be fair,
three quarters of the movie.
He went 3 years before getting his arse kicked, and every verse of Superman gets their arse kicked at some point.
Now, if you would like to see a really good in-depth review, you need to check out Trev's Cape and Phaser's channel on YouTube, because we ripped the shit out of the movie.
I was balanced. These two are very biased, him and Hans. They don't hold back, whereas I try to be balanced. Thank you.
Yeah, you try to be fair, but but you can't with that film. It's just impossible. But anyway, so
I kind of felt the same way. I'm just like, yeah.
The next thing I always love doing these things when I spot them, because I want to get your guys' opinions on this. So I passed an article that says you're not a true gamer until you play these 10 out of 10 games.
All right, here
like,
we go.
Okay, that's a pretty bold title. You're not a true gamer unless. So I wanted to see what these were,
unless you have a real mouse instead of a trackball.
Yeah, bigger. Or they're just shit and nobody else can.
Trackball, you can breeze through all the games. That's what's good. So let's see what you guys think. But in number 10 is the God of War series. They kind of put the two together.
All of them.
No. Just
so is it true
more
gamer
the, more
for
the
consoles?
Last two, the newer ones.
Oh, the Norse mythology ones. That's fine.
Yeah,
the last two that they just did. So they said you need to be, again, you're not a true gamer unless you played one or both.
True console gamer.
This one I thought was surprised me a little bit. They threw Prey in there for number 9. I mean, I happen to like Prey. I enjoyed the game. But I don't know if I would put it on a list to say you're not a true gamer unless you play this one. I mean,
there's so many more better games than this.
Yeah. I mean, I did like the game. It was a lot of fun, but not on a list like this. Yeah. I'm sitting there going,
the problem with these lists is it's someone's opinion.
Very
it's someone's
subjective.
Opinion is not the same as everyone's opinion.
Opinions are like arseholes. Everyone's got one.
And the funny thing is, below each of these that they picked, they give you the basic Open Critic reviews, which kind of aggregates everything. So you see God of War at 9.2, Prey is number 9, and right below it says 5.5 out of 10. Yeah. Like, sure, that belongs on the list. But anyway, Witcher 3, which is kind of a no-brainer. We knew that was going to end up there. But Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, is the best of the franchise, according to what they think, number 7. So again, not a true gamer unless you play it.
5 out of 10.
And of course, but what's funny though, when you go down to the aggregate score, it's only 5 out of 10. I'm going like, really?
Bit of a shit list, this.
It is, yeah.
That's odd.
It's like somebody ran out of time and went, oh shit, I need to get my pay. I'll come up with this crap.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate 3, which I would have to agree, because what little I played of the game, it's pretty unbelievable. So that's on the list at number 5, 6, excuse me.
That got a good score.
Number 5 is Ghost of Tsushima. I'll say it eventually. Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima. Yeah.
It says it's every gamer's samurai fantasy, so they're putting that at number 5. I played the game, I'll admit not a lot, but I played the game a decent amount. I wouldn't put that in as like, okay, you have to be a true gamer, so you need to play this. It's like, to me, that's a little bit too new and too niche.
Yeah.
Or niche, whatever. So I don't agree with that.
Don't say
one.
Niche, because that does my tits in. There's not a T in the word yet. Some people say niche, and I want to.
Who the heck says niche? I'm going to say niche from now on.
Usually, well, some Americans
I'm have
I won't
that
beat around
the
bush.
To say niche.
Yeah. Here's one that I kind of agree with, even though it's new. So some people could argue maybe this is not a good pick for this particular top 10. And that's Clair Obscur Expedition 33, which is a fabulous game. And I haven't even played that much of it. But so if I was going to include a new-ish game or a newer game, fine. I'd let this one slide because it's good. But I can understand if some people went like, I don't know, it's still too new.
Ray only plays 5% of games now, you know that, and he moves on.
Problem is getting to them all. I mean, I'm still trying to finish up Assassin's Creed Shadows.
That's why I won't start a game until I think I'm going to play it a lot.
Oh, I'll be playing it, don't worry. Once I'm done with this, which will be soon, I'm going to
ride
on to Doom.
Yeah, but then another game will come out, and another game will come out, and another game will come out.
I'm just going to find the time, man. That's all. I got to get back to Doom because that was a lot of fun, what little I played. Number 3 is Red Dead Redemption 2. They believe it's the perfect open world game. A lot of people would agree, so I can understand that.
Yeah, it scored, what's it, 9.8 out of 10?
Yeah, a 9.4 on this thing. But...
Yeah. I mean, it is good. It is quite good. It's, you know, playability is quite good. Online could be a lot better, but a lot of people still play it.
I think the playability is when you're talking about making a movie that's historic, in other words, like ages that have already passed, you can get away with it being good for a long time. You know, you don't have to worry about being, as long as it's good to begin with. Mm. Of course, Hans will be really happy about this next pick, but number two is Elden Ring. I guess you could put it here, I suppose. I mean, it was a big deal when it came out.
That boy loves playing Mies Ring. He really does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I don't know if I would say, you have to be, a true gamer. You have to play this game. There's a lot of people that couldn't play this game without a bunch of cheat codes, me included. So I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Number one, though, I guess Trevor will be happy about this. The Last of Us is rated number one, and you can't be a true gamer unless you've played that game. I haven't played it, so I guess I'm not a true gamer.
I played this when it first came out ages ago, and I got stuck in it. I think it was a school with a big exploding bloater.
How did you get stuck in The Last of Us, man? Jesus.
Because
he was the last of them.
Yeah,
and then he just,
yeah. That's it. And I kind of may have ran out of resources, as you do, you know. Not knowing what was ahead.
I would say maybe 2/3 of this list makes sense. The other third are kind of like, I don't know.
I love how the comments from people are like, and this is how you know the writer is not a true gamer. Some people say...
I didn't see the comments. You're right.
Oh, did you not? Yeah, there's quite a few people say, and who is this writer? Does this player make play games at all? Why is it not that makes me a true gamer for BG3?
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't even have picked the title. They should have just said top 10 of something. But to say you're not a true gamer, you're opening yourself up to
10 games you must play.
Did they use AI for this, I wonder?
Probably.
For what, the people that applied?
Yeah. Ryan DiFittorio, come on now. How did you come up with this nonsense? Come
on. Well, one of these guys commented that they're all RPGs. He's going like, there are other games. They're going,
they are exactly. Yeah, there's plenty of different type of games that are, you know, some are higher than some. Wow.
Funny. Well, everybody has, I guess, their opinion, or they want people to read their articles, whichever.
Yeah.
Or in any case. okay. And, did we already reach the end here already? Look at that.
Did Trev move things around?
No. You did? Oh, okay. Yeah. I got to say why you were next.
So what's happened, ladies and gentlemen, is Gray's let time slip by, and he's forgotten that we need to be off in 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to school.
And there's a quiz on as well, so Gray's done.
You
want to
do the quiz? Do we have time for the quiz?
I've got the answers for once now. I've actually...
If you're quick, yeah.
All right, go for it. Hurry up.
All right.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's correct. That's the answer. EPG Gaming Quiz. What is the name of the fictional continent where much of the Witcher series takes place?
I should know this, but...
We should be pinging messages to WhatsApp.
Scalga?
I don't know. I don't know.
Scalga something? Salga? I don't know.
Nope.
Gal Gadot.
The continent...
Uranus.
I'm not in this.
The continent,
so what is it?
Apparently it's called the continent. It's a primary land
mass. What's it called?
In the continent.
It's called the continent.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
In the Northern Kingdoms and the Nilfgaardian Empire.
Oh, I like MILFs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two. What is the name of the parasitic alien species that infests the USS Ishimura? In Dead Space.
I haven't played Dead Space.
Oh, have God, that's been a long time. They were
Dead Space. That should be on that list.
The alien species.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, what was that, Greg?
I know.
Something morph, something?
Yeah.
The homeless.
No.
The homeless.
That probably should be. But yeah, Greg, you're the closest one with the morphs, necromorphs.
Necromorphs.
Yeah,
okay.
Half a point.
Yeah, right. Now, you guys should definitely get this one. True or false?
Did we?
The original Xbox was released before the PlayStation 2.
Oh.
This is a good
one. Original Xbox released before.
Or was it before the 3?
I am going to say
false. I'll say false.
No. Yes, it was, because the Xbox came out to match the PlayStation 1 or after PlayStation 1, and then it was Xbox 360, and then, oh shit, wait a minute. I would say true. That's a guess. I don't know.
The answer is to be continued. No. False. False.
What's the answer? Yeah,
false. PlayStation launched in 2000.
Right. False.
Where the Xbox was in 2001.
Cool.
I hate quizzes. Yeah. I hate quizzes.
We love them.
Bye.
See y'all later.
Guys.
Bye. Bye.
Cheerio, fellows.